All right, Lawyer Talk podcast, off the record, on the air, taking on a spinoff today. Spinoff of what?
I don't know.
You don't even know what it is. All right, so here's what happened. We posted a video not that long ago talking about defendants getting convicted just on somebody's say-so. Mm. So Troy comes into court, says, I committed a crime. There's no other evidence. But meaning no other physical evidence, no other witnesses, no other whatever. And Troy says, I did it. Can I be convicted? And this happens.
Yeah, I walked in and said I killed somebody.
Well, hold on. That's a different. Now you're getting to the meat of it. That's a whole different game. So this happens all the time. So this happens a lot in the area of child sex abuse cases. And look, I've defended plenty of those. I still defend plenty of those. But I will also say that's a fertile ground for false accusations. Mm-hmm. Particularly, you see a child sex abuse accusation in the context of a nasty divorce proceeding where there's a custody battle, where there's all sorts of other stuff. I mean, look, there's reasons why there can be false accusations, but often people are convicted just on the child's word. There's no physical evidence. There's no eyewitnesses. Even the child says, look, it happened for the last 10 years. So many times I can't even count. So-and-so would come in my bedroom and do these horrible things to me. And, you know, so-and-so they're talking about says, no, I didn't do anything. I don't know. Why? How can they just believe her? And so this is, I'm using that example because some of the comments we got on this don't like it. They say this doesn't make any sense. Should never be convicted on one person's word. I think there's even there's even an Old Testament verse about this, I think in Deuteronomy.
Maybe
Numbers. You can't be convicted on just one person's word alone. Yet it happens. It does happen. And people didn't like it. But people may like it a little more when it's a child sex abuse case. And this is when we defend those cases, that's what we say. Like evidence and the more offensive the accusation, the more willing we as a society are to maybe even subconsciously lessen the standards of what we normally would require. So I would argue in those cases, like, look, I mean, if it's a theft case or a robbery case, or if I said Troy just came into my house and threatened me with a gun and nobody else saw it, nobody else did, it's only him, we'd be a lot more skeptical saying, come on.
Yeah.
You wouldn't accept that evidence. But if it's a child abuse case, we do. And look, I'm just pointing out the obvious here. I'm not making a statement about, certainly don't condone child abuse. At any rate, what we're talking about today is something different because it came up in one of the comments about lots of people sitting in prison with no evidence at all, et cetera. But you, Troy, are charged with murder. And then you said something. You said your statement alone.
I killed somebody.
So Troy comes into the police department, whistling along the way, hands in his pocket, all happy, says, hey, Sergeant Flanagan, I killed somebody.
Bold strategy. I feel like they're going to pull me into an interview room and probably ask some more questions, try to figure out what's going on.
Troy's
going to
get the third degree. Troy's going to get like the heat lamps and phone books and rubber hoses treatment. Yeah. Not anymore. They don't do that anymore. But Troy's going to get the third degree. They're going to grill him on it. And all you say is, I killed somebody. There's an old rule in common law, and I love common law. I studied it for a long time. But there's an old rule that most jurisdictions have, and it's called the corpus delicti rule, D-E-L-I-C-T-I. It's Latin. It is what it is, body of the crime. And what the rule does, or what the rule says, generally in Ohio, and we're talking about Ohio. I'm sure other jurisdictions have their own nuance. But what the rule generally says is that somebody cannot be prosecuted based only on a confession. The idea is and was to prevent the third degree, to prevent the cops from beating it out of you with a rubber hose or a phone book or not letting you pee for 10 hours while they poured water down your throat. Whatever, you know, the idea was to prevent that from happening and to combat false confessions. And certainly people confess falsely for other reasons too. But the rule basically, you got it up? You're gonna try your hand at it?
Well, no, I have it up, but I thought it was interesting that for law students out there, like the amount of Latin using this stuff, and it reminded me, just now I realized like habeas corpus, like the body, and like that's, I'm like starting to grasp this Latin side of it. But no, it's just saying criminal law principle requiring that prosecution prove a crime occurred using evidence independent of a defendant's confession or out of court statements. It prevents wrongful convictions based solely on false confessions requiring evidence of harm and a criminal agency.
Yeah. So what that means in practical purposes, in Troy's case, mm-hmm. if you go in and it's only your confession. Now, for those evidence scholars out there, Troy's statements qualify as non-hearsay because mm-hmm. they are
statements against a party opponent, like
admission of a party opponent, 801D2.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's non-hearsay by definition. And he is, so the prosecutor in theory can use your statement. It's not hearsay.
Yeah.
It's the defendant's statement. But it still can't rely only on that to prove the crime. They have to bring in, the state has to bring in some other evidence of the crime. Now, here's where it gets dicey because it's not exactly clear how much other evidence there has to be. But I guess I will summarize it this way. Not very much. Not very much.
No.
You know, now, is a missing person alone enough? Like, hey, I saw on TV that so-and-so, this little child is missing. I killed the child. So that's probably not enough there. Maybe, maybe not. It just
at least there is somebody missing.
You got evidence of a crime or some evidence of somebody missing. But this is like on TV. You see this all the time. You can't charge me murder until you find the body.
Mm.
That's not exactly true. But I think what they're really talking about is this rule,
mm-hmm.
is the old school rule that you got to have something other than the confession to prove the murder. Or maybe they're just saying there's not evidence that the person is actually dead, so you can't make that element of the crime. So Ohio law, it does not, I'm reading some authority on it now. Ohio law does not require the independent evidence to prove the crime beyond a reasonable doubt or even a prima facie case. It only requires, quote, some proof tending to show a crime was committed. And then there's lots of cases going way back to the 60s. And then there's other issues about what's the statute of limitations? When does that start?
Mm-hmm.
If they don't find the corpus delicti, that can toll or pause the statute of limitations in certain sex abuse cases. Corpus delicti is discovered only when a reasonable party learns that a crime has been committed, such as knowing stolen property has been disposed of. So there's all sorts of law that has spun off on this. But it's a nice little offshoot of the notion that we can be convicted in Ohio anyway on one person's say-so. That's just how it is. But ironically, not your own say-so
mm-hmm.
if there's no other evidence of the crime. So look, taking on the Latin. By the way, if you're thinking about going to law school and you want to prepare yourself, I always tell people to do a couple things. One, read the newspaper every day.
Really?
Yeah. Because you're going to get, if you read the newspaper every day, you're going to get exposed to all sorts of stuff that's happening that you will later connect to the United States Constitution. Like, who's got the power to do this? How's this happening? And you'll just be up on the news, and you're going to get used to reading a lot.
Yeah.
Secondly, learn Latin. Take some Latin.
Yeah.
Because really, law is a different language. And if you learn Latin, a lot of it sort of clicks into place as you study. So, and obviously, you're finishing law school. Any tips?
Latin, yes, absolutely. The news is an interesting one, but the amount of reading. If you don't read, if you're like in undergrad thing, you're going a couple of years, start reading for fun. Just find a way to put in a lot of minutes of reading because you're just going to read an insane amount.
And I think this generation now doesn't read as much as the generations before. And you can call it a criticism, and it is.
Mm-hmm. you get really bad your first year issue spotting. So you'll sit there and unfortunately read like the whole case, even though 90% of it didn't matter. And then you'll get good at issue spotting like your second year, and you'll be like, oh, I didn't have to read this entire thing, but
yeah, I can digest a case almost at a glance now.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point that meant I had to read every single word of the case. And not only that, I used to keep, somebody mentioned one of the comments, Black's Law Dictionary. I used to keep a Black's Law Dictionary next to me when I studied. And if I came upon a word I didn't understand, I would look it up. It's bloodletting. It's painful, and it takes a long time. But after you do that once or twice or three times, I guess I'm terrible at foreign languages, but it's probably like that. You know, it builds on itself, and the more you exercise that muscle, the better you get at it. But anyway, read a lot. I agree. So, in today's day and age, there's not a lot of opportunity to read. People listen on their earphones, or they skim text messages. They don't read, that is sort of the hallmark of law school, is that you have to read a lot. Anyway, if you've got a question, you want us to cover something here on Lawyer Talk Podcast, leave it in the comments and the socials. We'll try to get to it. Or go to lawyertalkpodcast.com, where we are off the record, on the air, each and every week. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.